We're going to be continuing our study on the Sermon on the Mount next Sunday, but this Sunday I just wanted you to consider, yeah, you can go ahead, Janelle, thank you. Janelle was listening, that's awesome, okay? Abby's, y'all are looking at like, hey, is that Savannah? Okay, cool. Thank you. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together this morning. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. But if you have your Bible and you want to follow along with me, Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 2 this morning. And I just want you to consider this concept as we begin 2022. Making space for God and His ways like never before. Making space for God and His ways like never before. So let's read together. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I don't know about your study Bible or the Bible that you have and read from, but I really enjoy, I've got an old school copy of scriptures here, and I wanted to read a little something. I love the way it says here. This is in the introduction to the book of Proverbs. And it says this, to the modern Western reader, the book of Proverbs may appear to be a random collection of remarks about people's thoughts on life. But Proverbs is actually a guidebook prepared by some of ancient Israel's greatest leaders to help the people succeed in every area of life, such as relationships, family, work, business, ethics, government, and community. If Psalms became Israel's hymn book for worship, Proverbs became its textbook for practical living. Proverbs is one example of a form of writing known as wisdom literature. Each proverb details life, distills life into essential categories of right and wrong, and gives instructions for how to pursue good and avoid evil. If you followed along on our Facebook page or Instagram this week, you saw that we posted a lesson from Elevation Church. And if you got a chance to listen to that, I think it was like 17, 18 minutes long. Had multiple people that responded and said back that they felt like it was so foundational that every single person should be able to listen to that. If you haven't carved out time for that, I want to encourage you to do it. But one of the things I wanted to mention was something that was said, and I kind of want to reiterate that and go back to it. How can I expect God's strength and yet reject His standards? Now, I want you to just think about this and just kind of mull this over a little bit because of some of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. And today, it's just a really simple lesson, but sometimes I think that simplicity is the most profound of things that we can consider and hold on to, especially with us laying the foundation for this coming year and this being our first time to meet together this year. I think that sometimes it just really helps to go back and be reminded of some simple things. And so I want you to just consider, and I want you to ask, how can I expect God's strength and yet reject his standards? Now, the reason that I think that this is so important and why it's so important for us to consider these things this morning is that we are currently living in a culture where you hear preaching, you hear teaching, and you see on all kinds of media presentations that Jesus loves you, and that basically what that means, it's a catchphrase for because God loves you, you go do anything you want to do, and you're guaranteed heaven because only bad people go to hell. And so what we have seen over the last 20 years, 25 years within the Church of Jesus Christ is that we reject his standards. Even as we're going through this upside down kingdom and we're looking at the Old Testament and we're looking at the Ten Commandments and we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, we are constantly having conversations because people are being led to believe, oh, that's the Old Testament, that's the Ten Commandments, that doesn't count anymore, we're under grace, almost like that's kind of worthless. Jesus never said that. So let me ask it this way. Let me ask it another way. I want you to think of it. We want God's strength, but we don't want God's standards. Another way to look at it is we want God's best, but we don't want to invest any time or effort with him personally. And this last statement is really what I see over and over again, is people are asking, longing for, and pursuing. They want God's amazing blessings. They want their lives to be showered with incredible things, but there's no desire to invest in that personal relationship with God. It's like a one-way street. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I had these great expectations. And then when we begin to talk about, hey, Pastor Tim, I'm struggling in my faith. Well, what are you doing with your faith? And there's this expectation that almost like an unsaid expectation that, no, God loves me, so he's just supposed to heap good things on me. And it's almost like we have this idea that our participation is not needed. So let me read James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 to you this morning. Just a reminder. If any of you, this is in the New King James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, I just want to just share with you that as a teenager, I took this truth to heart. And as we're looking at Proverbs chapter 2, and as we're looking at the importance of wisdom, the importance of seeing things through God's eyes and God's perspective, I'm just telling you right now that as a teenager, I was so confused about so many things in my life, and I was emotionally twisted up, and I was confused from the religious background that I had, and I definitely didn't feel like I was worthy of God's love, and I was trying to earn it, and there was all kinds of stuff going on. But one of the things that God used to get my attention is when I read James chapter 1, and I knew that I needed God's perspective. I knew that I needed his insight. And so James chapter 1 was one of those starting points for me when I began to see that, Tim, if you will believe, and if you will come to me and ask for wisdom, and if you'll just believe, I will meet you there and I will open things up and I will reveal things to you. And I can tell you that from the time that I was a teenager, I've continued to pursue and ask, and God has opened my mind and God has opened my perspective. And God has given me so many incredible opportunities, and I am living proof that he can take a guy that's not so sharp and not so smart and is not so talented, and he can open his mind and create opportunities for God to be glorified through just simple acts of service and love. So when we go back to Proverbs chapter 2, I want to just point out a couple things real quick. And I don't know for you, I love this where it says in verse 4, if you seek it, like we're talking about this wisdom, this different perspective, and this understanding, if you will seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about gold and silver. I don't know whether it's like a no big deal issue to you, but I have a feeling that if I told some of you that there were like 3 ounces of pure silver hidden out in the parking lot somewhere underneath the stones, now some of you, just because of embarrassment, you may play it off and drive away and keep an eye on everybody that's digging, and then you're going to come back when everybody's gone because you don't want anybody to know that you're super interested in it. We have all different kinds of motivation, but I love what it's talking about here, that I don't know what you treasure. I don't know what the treasures of your heart and mind are, but there is certain things for each and every one of us that we consider treasures, and it may not be silver or gold, but it's something like that that you are willing to fully invest yourself in, and you're willing to dig and pursue because it's something that's super meaningful for you. It is a treasure like silver or gold. And so I want to just kind of reaffirm Proverbs chapter 3. I forgot to read over. I love these verses. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. God is wisdom. And from him comes wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And this is super important to me and for all of us because I believe like never before, we need to be pursuing God and we need to allow him to open our minds and our hearts up, because if there's ever been a point since I've been alive where wisdom is needed to know how to navigate everyday living, it's today. And to be able to navigate the path of life and to have him open doors and open our minds and help us in this process, I think it's super important that we consider today and evaluate some things. Now, what I think is amazing is I hear a lot of people quote Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you can just say it right off the top of your head. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, what's amazing is Jeremiah 29:12-13 are actually part of the sequence of verses here, but you don't often hear those verses quoted. And this is the sequence in this proclamation. It's not enough that God loves us and wants amazing things for our hearts, souls, and minds as we live life. We have to respond to his love and desires for us. We have to participate. Verses 12 and 13 say, then, yes, God has these things that he has planned for us. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart. We've been going through, and many of you have ordered this book, and I wanted to read a couple of some things because I thought it was crazy. If you can see, like I've told you before, if you want to know a book that is really capturing my heart, open it up and take a look at it. I'm not one of these people that can read through a book and give it back crystal clear and clean. You can see my chicken scratch, and usually you can find sins written on here that I'm confessing openly to God as I'm reading. This is what it says in page 43 of Secrets of the Secret Place. Solomon wrote, seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 7. The imagery portrays godly wisdom as hidden treasure stored up deep within a mountain. And to gain this treasure, you must go mining fiercely for it. Furthermore, the scripture says, he gives wisdom to the wise, Daniel 2, 21. It's not the foolish who get wisdom, but the wise. The wise get more wisdom added to their life because they're smart enough to seek God fervently. Jesus doesn't respond to all believers alike. He responds differently to those who seek him more diligently. I mention this because this is not a truth that I hear a lot from pulpits across America today. And I just want to remind you that all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God does not respond to perfect people. God is not looking for perfect people. To be honest with you, God is not looking for what we've turned this thing into with church. God is looking for really good people. Well, if God's looking for really good people, I don't qualify. And when I started praying and asking and believing and asking God for wisdom, I was a teenager who didn't understand a lot, and I made a lot of stupid mistakes, and I was hanging out with people that brought me down, and I was spending time with people that weren't concerned about my walk with God, and I was going to places that many of you are going to, and I was doing things that some of you are still doing, and I was participating, but I had this churning, I had this struggle going on in my heart, and I believe there was a beginning point where I believed that a messed up kid like myself, that I could seek God and he would begin to open himself up to me, but I knew that I had to participate and I had to be invested in the process. Now, I'm a little bit older than I was as a teenager. And what I really love about this whole process of seeking God personally and him opening up your mind is it's not always the process of figuring things out right and gaining wisdom the right way the first time. Some of you, I've had conversations with some of you over the last several weeks. It still amazes me that you're amazed when I'm honest and truthful with you about my failures and my mistakes and my faults and my shortcomings. And you find out that the reason I understand certain things that I do is because I've tried to learn from those devastating boo-boos. Those humiliating, those embarrassing things that I have participated in. Wisdom doesn't always come from making all the perfect choices all the time. Sometimes we're able to grasp wisdom from the depth of our failure and calamity. Are you tracking with me? But I want to say to you this morning that God responds to us differently based on our diligent pursuit of him. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But since I was a teenager, I have continued to beg God for wisdom. Do you think that as a leadership group, do you think that we are naturally enabled or we are gifted in some different way than you to be able to navigate all the challenges of our church family? No. I regularly pray and say, God, I'm in it so over my head. I am desperate for your help to love everyone, to minister to the people that have open hearts. God, please show me, help me. My pursuit of wisdom has not stopped through the years. It's gotten deeper and stronger, and it has become more of an imperative for my very daily existence. So there's a couple things I want to just share with you real quickly. These are simple but profound considerations for 2022. I want to ask it in the form of three questions. Where does your faith and relationship with God fit in with your priorities in life? Is God and his wisdom even a priority? And if so, where does it fit on your priority scale? What type of investment are you making in seeking God? This is what I love, is James chapter 2 makes it very plain. James chapter 1, and James, I believe it was the brother of Jesus, the earthly brother of Jesus. He figured a lot of things out after his brother died. His half-brother. And he says this, and this is what I love. It's not based on anything other than faith, and he says a simple thing. If you will draw close to God, what happens? God always responds. God responds to faith. He doesn't respond to perfection. He doesn't respond to our arrogant presentation of all the great things he does. He responds to childlike faith. Unless you become like a little child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that simple. It's that base level. It's that whole thing that if we will take a step toward God, believe it or not, God takes steps toward us. He meets us as we make steps toward him. I'm living proof of that. I'm living proof of that. And I'm trying to encourage you this morning that it makes a difference when you prioritize him. What's your investment like? Number three, are you changing the way that you view God, yourself, and others to actually be more aligned with what God says? And if there's ever been a time as a church family where we need to be more focused on realigning or changing the way that each one of us views God, ourselves, and other people, it's right now today and heading into 2022. So let me just make these three points. Our priorities matter. Our priorities matter. Let me just remind you of what we just read in this book, Secrets of the Secret Place. God does not respond to everybody on the same level. He responds to those that diligently seek him. What that means is people that make him a priority, because our priorities matter. You say, well, I don't have great faith in God. What are you doing to develop your faith? What steps are you taking? How much of a priority is it in your life? Your priorities matter. Next, intentional investment matters. When you read stories in the Word of God, sometimes what we miss is the intentionality, the purposeful pursuit of God. And our intentional investment, it matters. It makes a difference in our life. And can I tell you what? I see this across our young people, our children. They are great examples for us. And sometimes they're a trophy of grace for us that are older and more jaded. Because what winds up happening is they make things very intentional. And they make an intentional investment. And they don't take things for granted. And they set aside time. How many times with small children when we talk about prayer and we're hungry and we sit down at the table and we're ready to blow through food because we say, I'm starving. And some little child goes, Pop, we haven't prayed. Are we going to thank Jesus? Oh, yeah, I was just getting ready to do that. Take the bread out of my mouth so I can pray. What kind of intentional investment are you making in your relationship with God? Last, the way you think and live matters. I just want to remind you at the beginning of this year, the way that you think and the way that you live, especially if they're amalgamated together as one, and there's no hypocrisy, the way that you think and the way that you live matters. It matters to God, it matters to you, and it matters to other people. You know what our world is looking for? I believe, because I have conversations. Not perfect, put together, incredibly impressive religious people, but flawed people who have been forgiven that they can relate to. You want to know why I know that? Some of the people that come and hang out with us, with the Mountain View Chapel family, and they kind of get a taste, it's funny at first, they're like, man, I really felt welcome, and I really enjoyed the services, and man, I really appreciate your honesty and your truthfulness. But then certain people that the more they keep coming, and I'm just being candid with you, and the more that they're around us, They have created this certain expectation of what they expect in a spiritual leader. And then I don't meet that expectation because I don't present myself to have my stuff put together and to be flawless and to have all the answers. And then for some people, they get really uncomfortable with that presentation. And then for every one or two people that leave us because of that, I'm meeting behind the scenes with four or five or six people that look at me with tears in their eyes. They say, "Pastor Tim, I can't thank you enough for being honest about being a man, because it helps me realize that you're just a man and you give me hope that God can forgive me and that I can know God. If you ever sense any change in my spirit about that, please love me and this church enough to confront me if you ever see that change about me." Because most of the people that you see in the Word of God that were desperately seeking God and depending on Him and clinging to Him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and were trying to hold on to His ways to direct their paths, they were flawed, messed up, struggling, non-perfect men and women from the beginning of the record in Genesis all the way through the end of the record in Revelation. My final thought. You are as close to God as you want to be, as evidenced by your effort of that pursuit. All excuses laid aside, all the reasons, all the different, I believe when I stand before God, I'm going to gaze into the eyes, the pure, holy, fiery eyes of my Savior. And it will never need to be said, because I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt at that point, I was genuinely as close to Him on this side as I wanted to be. As we look forward to this year, I want you to understand, my heart has never been as excited, and I've never had a greater vision for me personally and this church family being unleashed. Some of the foundations that have been laid over the last several years, I don't have visual number expectations of things that I've, but I believe that we are being purified and primed to just be pure vessels of honor for whatever that looks like. But I do know that part of that, what it looks like, is we're going to learn to love God more passionately. As Matthew chapter 22, as Jesus said, from the Old Testament to the New, that we're going to literally begin to rearrange our priorities and make God number one priority. And in the process of that, we're going to learn how to love each other better. And what blows up out of that, I don't have a clue. People come and say, "Pastor Tim, what are we going to do about a place to meet? We're running out of room." Same answer I've always given. I don't have a clue. Because we're just trying to be obedient and see God provide. But what I can tell you is that in the process of that, more and more people are coming to us and saying, "Hey, what if I bought property? What would that look like? What if we did this? What if we did that?" And you want to know why people are saying that? Because we are putting ourselves in a position to let Him provide. And so people are beginning to think outside the box instead of us just going and getting a couple $1 million loan. Let's walk this path together, seeking Him and depending on Him, making Him a priority, and let's ask Him together to do great and mighty things this year that are going to blow our minds, things that we've never even considered. And I'm not talking about necessarily physical provisions. I'm talking about the New Testament church that was on fire. And when you read the book of Acts, it wasn't about buildings and properties and holdings. It was about the Spirit of the Lord working through people and transforming them. And their priorities changed and their pursuit was changed. And they began to love one another deeply. And they began to share with one another like what we're getting a taste of. And then things blew up and the Holy Spirit worked in incredible ways. And tons of people believed in the good news of the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Will you pray with me? Can we lock arms together in that regard? Let's bow in prayer. Adam, is that your heart? Then come pray over us.
Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and I just pray for each and every person in this room that can hear my voice, God. I long to see our church grow closer together and our hearts grow closer to you. I just pray that our families would work together with one another, Lord, and when someone's hurting, we'll be there, Lord, and we'll be there to celebrate and joy also. God, I just thank you for bringing me here and my family, and I just pray that each family would have the experience we've had, God, and drawing closer to you and being there, Lord. We just are so thankful, and God, we're so blessed. And I just pray that you would watch over us and lead us and guide us and keep us safe on our journey home today, and help us not to forget what we learned today, and help us to draw near to you. In your name we pray. Amen.